the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. One of my favorite poets is a woman named Rabia. She was a saint in the Sufi tradition and lived in the 8th century in modern-day Iraq. There's a story about her that comes to mind whenever I read one of Jesus's parables about the end times, such as the parable about the bridesmaids that we hear today. Here's the story. Once Rabia was seen running through the streets of her hometown, Basra, carrying a torch in one hand and a bucket of water in the other. When someone asked her what she was doing, she answered, "I'm going to take this bucket of water and pour it on the flames of hell. And then I'm going to use this torch to burn down the gates of paradise, so that people will not love God for want of heaven or fear of hell, but because he is God." Perhaps Rabia's torch can be used to burn down the door that shut out the 5 foolish bridesmaids, blocking them from the wedding banquet, or in other words, paradise. If you can't tell, I'm not a fan of the parable of the bridesmaids. I'm definitely not a fan of the, quote, wise bridesmaids who hoard their oil and don't share it with the foolish bridesmaids. I'm not a fan of the bridegroom who shows up late and then says he doesn't even know half of the bride's friends who are supposed to be in their wedding. I'm not a fan that the bride has no place in this story. And I'm not a fan that Jesus admonishes his listeners to stay awake when in the parable he just told, all 10 bridesmaids fell asleep. Talk about a non sequitur. Perhaps more than any of Jesus's parables, this one leaves me scratching my head. And yes, the wise bridesmaids were smart enough to bring along extra oil to prepare for things not going to plan, like the bridegroom's delay. Good on them. But I honestly think they are the worst people in this parable. To uphold them is to uphold stinginess and self-reliance and ignore everything Jesus said about generosity and self-giving love. For example, Matthew 5:42, "Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you." Matthew 19:21, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor." And Matthew 23:13, "Woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces." How about shutting the kingdom of heaven in the faces of 5 bridesmaids? So what are we to make of this parable? Well, first, we must resist the temptation to derive a moral instruction. Nothing sucks the life out of a parable than assigning it a moral to the story. And we also have to resist the temptation to make this parable pure allegory. The bridegroom might bear some resemblance to Christ, but we need not go so far as to accept a scenario in which someone is pounding on the door, perhaps apologizing, repenting, and asking for God to let them in, only to hear God say through the keyhole, "Door's locked. Sorry." Rather, parables are about mining for truth. Often hidden truth, sometimes inconvenient truth, but usually truth with a little grace mixed in. And where is the grace in this parable? What is the good news? Well, often our search for grace starts by identifying with characters in the story. And for me, I'm reminded of my own bridesmaids when I got married, which included my little sister at 13 years old. She had braces. She was gangly and goofy and insecure, as any middle schooler would be, while also being quite beautiful and lovely. The bridesmaids in our story would have been her exact age, if not younger. And while children that age quickly turned into marriage material in Jesus' time, I bet their intellectual and emotional maturity was not that much different than now. You can imagine the five wise bridesmaids being mean girls, the kind that snubbed my sister when she was a teenager. And you can imagine the five foolish bridesmaids being regular kids who simply aren't prepared for something to go wrong, like the bridegroom being late. And then they get in a tizzy when they realize how unprepared they are, but they can't whip out the cell phone and call mom to bring them some extra oil. Lord knows that's what my teenage daughter would do. I was taking her lunch to school just last week because she left it on the kitchen table. So what do those child bridesmaids without cell phones do? Well, in this case, they listen to the stupid advice of the mean girls. You better run to the market and buy yourself some oil because you can't have any of mine. And otherwise, you won't be able to go with the bridegroom when he comes to get us for the wedding. Well, let me tell you something. The groom most certainly had a lamp. How else would the bridesmaids be able to see him coming at midnight from far away? And we know the wise bridesmaids who gave stupid advice also had lamps full of oil. That means there would have been enough collective light in the wedding party for everyone to join the procession. The celebration. A wedding is about gathering, community, joining, and sharing. But the foolish bridesmaids don't consider this. Instead, they run off because they think they can't approach the groom from a place of deficiency. They think they have to be self-sufficient, when the truth is, they can trust the groom's light to be enough for them, just like we can trust the light of Christ to be enough for us. He wants us to come to him in our need, not busy ourselves with trying to be perfect, because when we do that, we miss out on his presence altogether. So what about that part of the parable where the bridegroom tells the foolish bridesmaids, "I don't know you," and leaves the door shut? As mentioned earlier, that's hard to hear, and I don't think Jesus, who says in the Gospel of Matthew, "Knock and the door will be opened unto you," would shut out a bunch of naive 13-year-old girls. This isn't allegory. Lutheran pastor Nadia Boltz-Weber makes sense of it like this. Of course the bridegroom says, "I don't know you," because they hadn't come to him in their need and their lack and their want. But Jesus knows us not by our independence from him. Jesus knows us by our need of him, for which we should never be ashamed. When it comes to our relationship with Jesus, we must embrace our true identity as people who need a Savior. We are like first century bridesmaids and adolescent children who still need to rely on their parents for the forgotten lunch, for the family dinner, for the affirmation, "I love you and I'm proud of you," for the reminder to not listen to the mean girls, or other voices preying on our insecurities and seeking to send us out stumbling into the midnight darkness. So how about you? Are you listening to a voice other than God's? A voice that tells you what you've done is who you are, that you're nothing apart from your achievements, That you have to pretend to be something you're not so that other people will accept you? That God's goodness and mercy are not for you? Or what about that voice that tells you to hoard your oil at the expense of mercy, empathy, kinship, and hospitality? This is the voice of the wise bridesmaids, or the mean girls, as I've taken to calling them, and is spoken from a place of ignorance and immaturity. And perhaps it's the worst voice of all. But boy, is it prevalent in our culture. To quote another Episcopal priest, we're so afraid of emptiness, we idolize excess. We're so worried about opening our doors too wide, we shut them tight. We're so obsessed with our own rightness before God, we forget that rightness divorced from love is always wrong. We live in dread that there won't be enough to spare, enough grace, enough freedom, enough forgiveness, enough mercy. And somehow, we would rather shove people into the night than give up the illusion of our own brightness. Thank God for the light of Christ that will help us combat the voice of selfishness and fear. Our light comes from Him, not ourselves. And it's a light that burns down gates and doors and barriers. It's a light that reminds us of our humility and our constant need to be shown the way. And it's a light we can always share. May that light open your heart today, just as Jesus opens the door for all. Amen.